Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, many people are working, learning, and accessing health services from home for the first time. Governments, businesses, and individuals are increasingly relying on software to help their communities thrive in the emerging remote economy. To address these opportunities and challenges, BSA, the Software Alliance, recently released a response and recovery agenda with recommendations for how governments in every country can support the remote economy now and in the future. This transition calls for strategic initiatives that power the remote economy, maximize public health and safety, and maintain the services that people depend on to work and live. We find out more from Jared Raglan, Senior Director for APAC Policy at BSA, the Software Alliance. Jared, lovely to speak to you again. Hope you're safe where you are.
Yep, very safe. Stuck here at home, but all's good. Hope you are well.
Thanks for asking. I am. So briefly highlight some of the recommendations that BSA, the Software Alliance, has put out.
BSA's response and recovery agenda is a recognition that governments are struggling through a truly unprecedented time as economies are restricted through social distancing measures that we're all experiencing. And software is a major part of both the response, kind of the immediate reaction to the economic disruptions that the virus is causing, as well as recovery and preparing for a more resilient economy in the future. So very briefly, on the response side, we've been advocating for the last several months with success to ensure that governments are making sure that as they institute, for example, strict work from home policies, that essential IT workers are able to continue going to sites and maintaining the information technology infrastructure that we're all using. We've also been advocating that the emergency response legislation and funds are available to businesses, especially the smaller ones that were hit more unawares and unprepared, that they can use these funds to maintain their IT infrastructure and their software-enabled solutions. Shifting to the response, though, or the recovery, which I think is the really important and interesting side, here there's a range of recommendations that we're making to governments. One has to do with promoting the hardware infrastructure, making sure that there's broadband access and secure 5G networks available. We also want to make sure that the ability to continue conducting business overseas and across borders is maintained. That's a really critical piece of our advocacy. We want to make sure that governments are leading by example through more aggressively adopting cloud computing and other IT solutions. And finally, we are really emphasizing the importance of preparing the workforce for a remote economy going forward. We've been advocating for that for a long time with the challenges that, you know, things like artificial intelligence raise for jobs in the future. But the economic crisis just puts a big, bold underline on that. And as much as we want to get back to normal, there is a good chance that a lot of current people who are both employed and unemployed will find a job market in the future that is much more tech emphasized and requires more remote working.
Jared, let's go backward, I suppose, from the thing that you just last mentioned, from the recovery aspect of the agenda to transform that global workforce. You say improving access to STEM education, that's already or always has been kind of an uphill task. How, though, as they meet challenges, governments to try and do this, can they overcome those challenges?
Well, I mean, yeah, you make a very good point. A lot of these systemic challenges were here before the pandemic, and they'll be here afterwards. And education is no difference. What I think we anticipate and we hope is that every government on the face of the planet is probably thinking about all the things that they wish they had done better before this pandemic hit.
Sure, and hindsight 2020, but
yeah, exactly.
Moving on, what do we do?
Yeah, well, so I think it emphasizes the need to accelerate some of these trends. So I think that, you know, when it comes to STEM education, it's not simply about improving, you know, mathematics and science education at the secondary and college level. It's really thinking about how to develop mid-career work transition programs, it's really important to think about practical, kind of almost losing the word, but sort of internships isn't the word I'm looking for, but basically trying to get adults to be able to move quickly and perhaps while they're holding down another job to upskill their job creations and not have so many bureaucratic red hurdles in the face of people who are trying to gain those skills at a very practical level.
What about, say, for example, advancing cloud or advanced cloud services, promoting that responsible migration to advanced cloud services? Each government, each region, each company sometimes is at a different stage of digital transformation, for example. How can they overcome some of those challenges?
That has been a systemic challenge for us as well. And again, I think that the lack of progress prior to the outbreak of the pandemic has exacerbated the situation. And we can only hope that the economic disruption caused by this massive shift to remote working will inspire, you know, small and medium-sized enterprises, large corporations, and even governments to really accelerate these programs. There are a number of practical steps that governments can take that we hope they'll be more receptive to. These include adopting efficient processes for evaluating, especially the security and quality and capability of cloud computing services, but also opening up their processes to consider the commercially available cutting-edge solutions that are already being used by some of the, you know, top companies in the world to improve their capabilities. And we also think that the governments that do this will be in a better position to help struggling companies within their economies do the same. Obviously, a large company has different needs than a small company, and so on and so forth. But we think that this is a great opportunity for the private sector and the governments to come together and really sort of implement some of these best practices that we've been talking about for years.
Jared, up until now, we're going into recovery stage, so to speak. What has been the report card, I suppose, for the response aspect of, let's say, the Singapore government or here in Singapore, how we've ensured IT services remain available, for example? Have we done a good enough job, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very good question, and I'm sure that there is some, as you said earlier, 2020 hindsight considerations, but Singapore had a lot of natural advantages to other countries in the region and around the world. It already has a very strong broadband network. A lot of people have relatively inexpensive and high-quality access to the Internet. And so I think the shift to work from home was relatively painless here compared to some other places. Singapore also has the advantage of having already attracted a lot of the major global software and cloud computing players. And so the capacity here was very high, and we didn't have the sort of brownouts and blackouts with respect to the Internet-enabled services that other countries face. The other thing I thought was really encouraging was that as we went into the circuit breaker, the government, IMDA in particular, was really receptive and open to hearing from the challenges that companies were facing with respect to the work from home policy. That was really a challenging situation because you wanted to get people who weren't necessary to be in offices or to be on work sites staying at home. But you also had to very nimbly and very quickly allow those that truly were essential to be able to be mobile, to be able to go to sites to provide their services and to do it safely.
Yep.
And our experience was that the government of Singapore was quite nimble on that. So I have to give them pretty strong grades on that. It's been harder in other markets, although frankly out here in APAC, even though it was the first place to get hit by the pandemic, at least the story that the numbers tell, we've sort of been saved from the brunt of it compared to our friends in Europe and North America.
We're speaking to Jared Raglan, Senior Director for APAC Policy at BSA, the Software Alliance. So looking forward, Jared, how do you anticipate the response to the recommendations that the BSA Software Alliance has?
Well, it's going to be an interesting quest. This is a top priority for everyone, getting this recovery response right and to get our economies working again, get our people working again. I think it's going to be a mixed bag, frankly. I think some countries are going to be more receptive to some of our messaging than others. You know, just a couple examples. Up in Japan, this is really emphasizing the need for some serious reform in the way document authentication, something as mundane as that, is being handled. In Japan, a lot of documents aren't considered official until they've had the proper seal physically affixed to it. And that makes it difficult to do a lot of the online transactions that are sort of the bread and butter of the modern economy. And so the government is looking to reform those kinds of policies. And we're right there providing, you know, our companies' experience and assistance on that. I think other governments are perhaps more set in their ways, and it's going to be harder for them to completely change their mindset around some of these issues. But again, I think we have an opportunity to figure out not only how to recover from this particular pandemic, but to deploy cutting-edge technology in a way that makes our economies more robust, but also more resilient for whatever the next catastrophe is going to be. We don't know what it'll be. We don't know when it will be, but we know one will come. It will be climate change related or pandemic related or earthquake related. We don't know, but something is going to happen somewhere sometime soon. And we need to have economies that are resilient against those kinds of threats.
Jared, how likely do you think governments are to take these considerations or recommendations into consideration? No doubt they're not as vague as, say, let's end world hunger for happiness. There are some concrete steps of what they can do, but tall orders, big asks you're asking of governments and regions.
I'm optimistic. I think that most of the governments are recognizing that to the extent that their stay-at-home policies weren't as disruptive as they expected, it was thanks to software and information technology making that possible. And to the extent that the work-from-home policies and the social distancing and the lockdowns were catastrophic to the economy, it was because, at least in some cases, they didn't have enough of these technologies properly deployed, whether it was in the government, public sector, or whether it was in companies around the economy. I think this is a call to action. Whether they will adopt all of our recommendations is, you know, I wouldn't bet on that. And frankly, I'm not entirely sure that every government should adopt everything. These are proposals. They need to be tailored for the circumstances that exist. But I think governments are really aware in a practical, concrete way of the importance of getting these kinds of policies right. That was frankly hard to break through earlier when the arguments were a bit more abstract and the consequences were a little bit more farther down the road. You know, what's going to happen to our economy when AI really starts replacing certain job descriptions? That's an important task. People were worried about it, but it wasn't immediate in the way responding to this crisis has been.
Jared Ragland, Senior Director for APAC Policy at BSA, the Software Alliance. Jared, thank you so much for joining us today, and stay safe, sir.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.